Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. My name is Ken Edwards, the Midwest Coalition of Labor, sitting to my right this time.
Bigger studio.
We're moving up in the world.
But I'm Ed Maher from the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150.
Yeah, and we have today probably, I wouldn't say one's more important than the other, but we have some pretty high-profile guests this morning.
Absolutely. We've got a labor panel that's here to talk about something really important, and that is Workers' Memorial Day, which is being recognized this year in Illinois. So we're going to have Jane Flanagan. She's the director of the Illinois Department of Labor. Tim Dre from the Illinois AFL-CIO. He's the president. Representative Marcus Evans, he's the Assistant Majority Leader, chairs the House Labor Committee down in Springfield.
And he is the one who introduced this resolution for the Workers' Memorial,
correct?
That's
exactly right, yeah. Yep. And then Pat Devaney, who's the Secretary Treasurer of the Illinois AFL-CIO. So going to be a lot of, we'll talk safety, we'll talk, just sort of the state of work in Illinois with them.
Yeah, pretty high-level folks.
Don't miss it.
Yeah, we're not used to having such high-level people on the show, huh?
No. We're still working on getting Clarence Thomas in here, but he's not returning any of our phone calls.
So we'll be talking about that later.
We'll keep talking about it.
I might have an in with Clarence.
Yeah, you're just trying to get Jenny picketing out in front of the building here.
So
he had a bad week.
So but that's for sure. So Workers' Memorial, real quick, is basically a day that's honoring workers who have gotten hurt and or passed away on the job. And unfortunately, if you're reading the news, there has been a lot.
Yeah, I mean, firefighters have been very high profile. People in trenches, people who work on highways and construction.
Obviously, the rail industry.
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things that Workers' Memorial Day does is it reminds people that deaths at work were not the product of coal mines or chimney sweeps or things from Upton Sinclair books. This is people who are going to work in modern jobs today. It's still happening every day, and it can happen to anyone.
And it needs to stop. Right. And one way to do that, of course, is to organize, because as a union, you have a say in your own job safety. You're listening to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ken. He's Ed. And as we talked about at the top of the show, we are super, super psyched to have with us four very distinguished guests. And I'm just going to take it in order of where everybody's sitting, not necessarily in order of importance.
Right.
So I'm going to start with the right, Pat Devaney. And Pat, why don't you say hello?
Hey, hello, everybody.
Pat, who are you? What's your title?
I'm the Secretary Treasurer for the Illinois AFL-CIO. I've been in that position for about 3.5 years.
And how many members does the AFL-CIO have here?
We represent 900,000 union members and 1,500 affiliates across the state.
Wow. You're a firefighter by trade, right?
I came from the Firefighters Union. I ran the statewide Firefighters Union for about 12 years, and I was a career firefighter down in state in Champaign.
All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks
Glad
for coming.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
And next up is Tim Dre.
Yeah. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, Tim. What's your title?
President of the Illinois AFL-CIO. I work day-to-day with Pat and as an officer for those 900,000 members.
How long have you been with the AFL?
I've been there 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I spent 13 years as Secretary Treasurer and then moved up 3 years ago to President.
What did you do before that, Tim?
I started out as a coal miner in Central Illinois. I followed my father and worked in the mines 11 years.
That's amazing. Good for you.
It's an amazing backstory. I've heard the backstory a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So two worker bees, are now running, the
federation that covers 900,000 working men and women.
It's amazing. So kudos to you guys for doing that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And it makes you feel good about Illinois, because Illinois is really a state of workers, right? And it's important. So you guys not only, talk the talk, but you have walked the walk. You have been in the position of the working class, and I think that's really important.
Right.
Yeah. Carried a bucket.
You carried
a bucket. Right. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah,
you've been in a coal mine, which is more than most people can say.
I was just a lawyer. Yeah. Just a communication.
I roll
director.
Pencils back and forth across the desk most of the day.
You're very good at it.
I can spin around in my chair like 7 times.
And now we have a state representative, right?
Yeah, yeah.
and also Assistant Majority Leader. I did not know that. Yes. Marcus Evans. Say hello.
How you doing? I'm Marcus Evans. And also, I chair our Labor and Commerce Committee. So,
that's
of course,
right.
I work with the labor leaders of Illinois, try to push good policy. And I represent a working class community, Southeast Side of Chicago. So, no million-dollar houses in my community. It's working people.
Good. How long have you been doing it?
I've been a state rep for 11 years now. It kind of flew by. But I've been a chair of the committee for about four of those years. And just, you know, really enjoy creating policy to help workers, you know.
Yeah, and you are also, by trade, you're an appraiser.
Yeah, so I'm a real estate appraiser. We do a lot of commercial work, but, you know, appraising is so important. You know, it's all about opinion of value, and it impacts so much in the communities and for working people. So it'd be something I'll be doing forever.
Yeah, good. You know, I think I'm gonna. Can I call you Marcus?
Yeah, please don't call me.
All right, I appreciate that.
You left. I'm a referee too.
What?
I'm a basketball referee. I know we don't want to go off.
I didn't know.
I want to hear about that. No, let's get
yeah, but I'm a basketball referee. I'm a high school basketball referee.
Really?
Yeah. It's my favorite thing to do.
I heard you're the worst referee out there.
Yeah, well, I'll kick you out the game.
the kid that fouled out last night told us that.
That's what he told us. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize, Marcus, that state reps and politicians here in Illinois, you know, you're not making $1 million, you know, as a representative, right? It's not like you have this mansion, you know, or you're a, you know, a billionaire, you know, like the Fed and whatnot. You guys have jobs.
Yeah, most of us are regular folks. I mean, we have folks who are rich or what have you, but most of us are working class. And I live in Avalon Park, Southeast Side, live in a bungalow.
Right. I don't see any Secret Service following you around in here.
Dumb.
Like, he came in by himself, and I said to Ed, I'm like, is that him? He's by himself. And it's like, I think that is him.
Yeah. It's not like the Supreme Court where you get flown in on a private jet.
No, I go to LA Fitness to work out, you know, hang out at the local places. So,
yeah. Now you know where you can find him.
Yeah.
LA Fitness. And last but not least, we have Jane Flanagan. And Jane, you are...
I'm director of the Department of Labor. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's really cool to have you here. So it's the Illinois Department of Labor,
yes.
Not the U.S.
Good,
Department of Labor.
Important clarification.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
For now.
Right.
For now.
Yeah, do you have aspirations?
Absolutely not.
Like everybody, she gets to Illinois and loves it so much, you never want to leave.
And what's your background? You're not from Chicago, like you're not from Illinois.
No, so I'm from Maryland. Like you, I was a lawyer. I represented workers. I was a workers' rights lawyer. I represented chicken processing workers on Maryland's Eastern Shore.
Oh, cool.
In overtime cases, bus drivers.
Oh, that's awesome.
I went to work at the Maryland Department of Labor, and then we moved here about 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was at the AG's office for a long time. I founded the Workers' Rights Bureau there.
Yeah.
And litigated cases, did trafficking cases, non-compete cases, and I was appointed to this job about a year ago.
So this is an appointment?
It is.
I gotcha. And where'd you go to school?
Law school or?
Well, both.
get the full resume.
Yeah.
Nice. I went to Northeastern.
I have a reason for asking this.
Okay.
Are you a Patriots fan?
I am, well.
There you go.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Here we go.
There's still time to say I am not a Patriots fan.
I am not particularly, but I am married to a rabid Patriots fan.
Yes. Okay.
Well, got to admit it.
You know?
I thought she was going to say she's married to a Patriot.
I'm out of here.
So now with that background, let's go to you, Marcus. We're here to talk about something that I think is really cool and really important, and that is the Workers Memorial Day,
yeah.
Right? And this was the result of a resolution that was passed that you introduced. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, of course, you know, we have great leadership, Pat and Tim, and they talked to me about it. And I think we know people died at work. We know that people still die at work. But it's kind of ill it happened, these accidents. These aren't accidents. You know, it's important for employers and people in construction and people in the workplace to protect the workers. Do everything you can. If you go to work, you should go home.
That's right.
And I think that years ago, we know people died in dangerous situations. But in 2023, nobody should be dying at
right.
work. All safety precautions should be taken. And it's such a shame you hear about it. I mean, somebody lost their life trying to take care of their family, and it's so sad. And what happens to that family? So just remembering those folks. So when we put in legislation, or when Jane is talking about safety, that we take it seriously. Like, it's not a joke. Everybody should go home.
I think when you talk about Workers' Memorial Day, a lot of folks might get the idea in their head of, you know, old black and white pictures of dangerous workplaces. But every day, I mean, whether it's trench collapses or, you know, the recent passing of two firefighters tragically in the city of Chicago, this is still happening every day. And so I think what you're doing everyone here is so important to just remind people that work is dangerous and yes. that we all have kind of a moral obligation, and it's doable if we actually try
yep.
to make workplaces safer.
And when is this? It's what's the day?
April 28th, next Friday, 2 weeks from Friday.
Yeah, you guys going to have a celebration or like commemoration?
You know,
or?
Ken, there's 10 memorial ceremonies around the state.
Yep.
Rockford, Central Illinois, down in the Metro East, all over. We're going to have one in Springfield. Director Flanagan is going to be our keynote speaker.
Oh, cool.
And Springfield is like the two firefighters that were tragically killed on the job in Chicago last Friday. Mm-hmm. A UA member, plumber and pipe fitter, local 137 member, was killed on the job in Springfield.
No kidding.
So it's still there. Very, very prominent. That's, you know, three workers in the AFL-CIO just this month.
Right.
We're only at the 14th.
Yeah.
Prayfully, we don't have any more.
So that is and this is something that's going to be recurring?
Yeah, it's an annual celebration, or a ceremony. It is because the OSHA Act was passed in 1970 mm-hmm. and on April 28th. So every year, nationwide, Worker Memorial Day is commemorated by the AFL-CIO to remember.
Got it.
And for many years, the AFL-CIO has done things. I know last year it was in the midst of a campaign to pass the Workers' Rights
yes.
Amendment. But there were events all over the state
yes.
for Workers' Memorial Day.
So, now,
can we get a day off for that? By the way, can we move it to a Monday?
Well, that would be a good idea, but
yeah.
I think the 28th is special significant,
okay,
so
okay.
we'll keep it there.
All right,
okay?
Fair enough.
So, you know, we've talked about this several times on the air, and that is, you know, remember, obviously, you know, the train derailment, right?
Yeah.
Or the train derailments, I should say,
mm-hmm.
right? Explosions at this factory, a police officer dying, you know, and now all of a sudden, we're going to get to this, you know, with Director Flanagan, that is, you know, we have child labor
right.
all of a sudden coming back. And one of the things that, you know, we see, or at least, you know, here's from the 30,000-foot view, is that something happens, what's the penalty? Right. What? So here, let's go to you, Director. What happens? So what is the penalty?
Sure. So, you know, OSHA, federal OSHA in Illinois, inspects and enforces on private sector workplaces. Mm-hmm. Department of Labor, Illinois Department of Labor, we inspect and enforce on state and local workplaces. Right. And so that is your police, your fire,
sure.
road and construction workers,
right. yeah.
water, sanitation. Those are high hazard industries.
Yep.
And we will issue an investigation. You know, we'll start an investigation when we see something. One of the heaviest things I do as director is send a letter to a family that's lost someone.
Yeah.
Like these firefighters, we sent those letters last week to say, we're so sorry for your loss. We're here for you. We're also going to be reaching out and investigating.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to witnesses. Those interviews are happening next week for those.
What are the penalties? Like, if you find that it was, you know, gross negligence or they weren't complying with, you know, X, Y, and Z safety requirement, you know, what are the penalties?
So there are monetary penalties on a sliding scale, mm-hmm. right, that get more severe as the violations
get more
severe.
So there's dollars and cents.
There is dollars and cents. And there's also, you know, what lawyers would think of as equitable relief, right?
Okay.
We want to see this policy change. We
right.
want to see that you've done this training. We're going to come back in 3 months. We're going to come back in 6 months. And we do those repeat inspections
yep.
to say what's in place, what's changed, how has your training and your procedures changed. That's a lot of our Illinois OSHA enforcement folks really stress those policies and procedures, because in an emergency situation, it's like military or anything else, right? You have to have that training. You have to been through those drills
right.
a million times to actually,
to
in that moment, be able
well,
to...
You should, yeah, you shouldn't be on the job training safety. You know?
Pull out the safety for dummies book. Hang on a
yeah.
second. Right.
But, yeah. But I have a question, and then maybe, you know, Pat, you can chime in on this as well. If there's, let's say, you know, you have a firefighter who's unfortunately passed away, and if you find that there's a violation, who gets fined? What's the violation? Where
so
does it go?
For our enforcement, it goes to the public body, that employer, right? It's an employer's responsibility to provide a safe workplace.
So, Pat, so the employer then is what? The fire department?
Yeah, typically it's a local unit of government, a municipality, city, village,
yeah.
fire protection district.
Right. And they're going to pay that fine.
Yes.
Yeah, and we utilize this opportunity to be able to, not only when accidents happen, but firefighters identifying things at work that appear unsafe
right.
before an accident happens,
so,
and IDOL will look into that as well to prevent accidents.
So it's a really good point. I want to hold you on that thought for a second. But back to this notion of penalties, right? I understand in the private sector, you know, you're a contractor, you get hit, monetarily, that comes off your bottom line. You're a public sector, you know, department, municipality, et cetera. That's taxpayer dollars. Right.
Yeah, and typically property taxes when it's a local unit of government.
So, you know, whoop-de-doo. You understand?
No, absolutely. But that's the point in terms of trying to be preventative to be able to identify these things. And what I found is the line firefighters, the ones on the ground, the ones going into the buildings to help people, are the ones that are best prepared and situated to identify the problems and work with IDOL.
Sure. Just like the train guys, right? That said, hey, you know,
we need another person on
this.
We
need another body. We need another several bodies, right? I've always heard this thing with firefighters, you know, we need X number of guys on the truck.
Absolutely.
Right?
Our SMART union, who represent the railroaders, have been pursuing in Illinois to have safe staffing levels to make sure these trains can operate safely to prevent accidents from happening and everyday citizens from getting injured or killed.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, it's not just for the workers themselves, right? But, of course, there's the spillover, no pun intended, of, you know, a train derailment that's going to, you know, spill chemicals and, you know, kill people.
And it was frustrating. I mean, we talked at length after that had happened in Ohio right before the Super Bowl. And we talked about both kinds of relief, not only the fact that the drinking water is no longer safe, people are losing pets, people are probably going to suffer some sort of adverse health outcomes, and that's all got to be dealt with, but also figure out what happened and make sure that it is fixed. If there's an easy fix, somebody should be looking at it. I mean, in the state of Illinois, we're really fortunate to have a lot of people that are all pulling in the same direction, so we have there are people who want to ask the question, can this be prevented? Can we stop this from happening again?
So, Marcus, you're on the labor committee. I mean, is this a place that, you know, that labor could come and say, hey, you know, we want to talk about safety issues, you know, and maybe have it a broad discussion, not only with, you know, Illinois Department of Labor, Illinois OSHA, you know, the AFL-CIO, whoever's involved in safety. I mean, is that something that has happened, can happen, should happen? What do you think?
I think all of the above, and also in our Revenue Finance Committee and our Appropriations Committee. Like Pat is saying, if a fire department is saying, well, we don't want to spend the extra dollars on X, Y, and Z,
right.
We got to file a bill to require it. You know, safety has to be a requirement. Of course, there's always a safety cost, and people don't want to keep costs down. But there's a floor that, hey, we got to invest in. We got to have seat belts. We can't say they're too expensive to put in the car.
Right.
You know, we got to have certain equipment for firefighters. Even looking at the future, you know, what is the future? No firefighter should ever die. So what are the new technologies we can invest in? So really appropriations is where I think a lot of politicians come in at, requiring safety and then making the investments.
The Appropriations Committee?
Yeah, just in general. What we spend money on or making sure that the right money is being spent.
Are you on that committee?
Well, we kind of break it up. I'm not on the appropriate on Revenue Finance, but we all impacted those last budget bills. Every state rep got to vote on a budget. So, yes, we all are an impactful.
I hereby vote Marcus Evans to be the head of the Appropriations Committee.
We're forming the Appropriations Committee.
Yeah. Everything could be the. I'm
all in favor? All in favor? I don't know.
You're going to get me in trouble. I got to go back to work, man.
I don't know if we have a quorum.
Yeah.
So we've got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. So
do you guys mind sticking around for the next segment?
Please.
Happy to do so.
When I'm over here.
Great. We'll be back. Everybody stay with us right here at the Workers' Mic on WGN 720.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher here with Ken Edwards. And if you were listening in the last segment, you are familiar with our illustrious labor panel, but I'll reintroduce everybody. This morning, we've got Illinois Department of Labor Director Jane Flanagan. We have Illinois State Representative Marcus Evans Jr. We have Illinois AFL-CIO President Tim Dre. And then we have Pat Devaney, the Secretary Treasurer of the Illinois AFL-CIO.
Thank you guys for being here.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about different workplaces and the importance of safety. You know, you're all in here talking about the Workers' Memorial Day, which, of course, is coming up on April 28th. But one thing that I did not know, Director Flanagan, is that the Illinois Department of Labor does free on-site safety consultations, and that's for any kind of worksite, correct?
That's exactly right. So we have, you know, that enforcement arm that we talked about, but totally separate and divorced from our enforcement work, we're always focused on outreach, consultation, and compliance. So we have this on-site consultation program. It's federally funded, so it's totally free. We really focus on small businesses, can be private sector, can be So public sector, like a small municipality.
And what do you do? Do you actually go out on the job site? You'll send one of your safety inspectors out to the job site.
So it's really tailored to what that business is looking for. Sometimes they just have a particular question. They just want to check in with someone. Sometimes they want that full job site approach and safety plan.
Let me ask you this.
And we'll tailor the services.
It sounds to me, other than if you're going to be, you know, cheating or unscrupulous, like it sounds like that's a no-brainer.
Right.
Like, why would you not want that? Because you would also think that that probably affects, you know, maybe the price you pay for your bond or your insurance
workers' comp,
you know, and any of that kind of stuff. It seems to be a no-brainer. So where, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, because I didn't know this either, quite frankly.
Right. It's really, really smart. I mean, it takes away the cost argument completely out of just fighting.
I mean, my headphones hurt at WGN. You know what I mean? And I really feel that, that somebody should come in here and do some safety inspection.
Well, let's get the number and you can call it.
What's the number?
Yeah, so it's 1-800-972-4216, or you can just go to our website, which is labor.illinois.gov.
And just ask for Jane.
She'll probably pick up.
You know, it's not that hard to find me. But you can look for that on-site consultation program, and it's all the info is there.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And Marcus, in the last segment, you had said you had referred to safety as an investment.
Yes.
And I think that was extremely well put because, you know, my background is in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. And any construction contractor will always say that the biggest, you know, unpredictable spike in expenses is from a, you know, an unforeseen safety incident. So the amount of care that's put into construction sites for safety, whether it's hard hats or whether it's trench safety and things like that, is enormous. And it is an investment because, you know, we've got to keep people safe. So, you know, I think having somebody who's working down there and who's in charge of, you know, some appropriations, a recently elected head of the Appropriations Committee, I understand, here at WGN.
Trouble.
But it's great that you understand it that way, and, you know, I can't thank you enough for everything that you do.
No, I think we hope that as a business person listening, or they say, well, let me do the extra thing that it takes before something happens. And we always talk about construction and the apparently dangerous careers.
Sure.
You can be in an office space and do they got the proper flooring? Do they on the stairs? Do they got the strips to make sure in the wintertime you're not slipping?
Do they have right keyboards for ergonomics? You know, like all of that. Right. There's a ton of stuff that goes into this. When I used to work for the Newspaper Guild, I mean, literally, people are sitting there typing, you know, 200,000 hours a day, and their hands would, you know, carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
And so, but when you say investment, let's just keep going with that.
Yeah.
You spend $10 on safety and perhaps prevent that accident, right? So the downstream effect is you're not having the municipality, you know, pay a fine, for example, right?
Yes.
And raise taxes. And, you know, obviously the human element is, God forbid somebody, you know, gets hurt or loses a limb or passes away. So, I mean, it really is an investment. And, you know, I want to pivot here for a second. One of the things we touched on earlier was this notion of, you know, like you said, Ed, and you've always said this, you know, unions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we don't need unions anymore. There's no more kids in the coal mines, and they're a thing of the past. And, you know, and Tim, tell us, like, in terms of, like, union job safety, where do we compare it to non-union?
Well, union jobs are much, much safer, and it's very, very simple because a worker turning in or raising a safety concern cannot be punished for bringing that because there's a due process with the union contract.
And because he's not scared to do it because there's a union contract behind him, right?
Yes,
so absolutely. So if you're a non-union worker and you say, hey, you know, I think this thing is unsafe, they can go, oh, yeah, by the way, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly
and what's,
right.
What's the recourse they have?
And the union will step up too, and make sure that concern is addressed.
That's for
sure. All the workers.
I mean, a lot of the unions have safety coordinators, have big safety programs.
Yeah.
I know at Local 150, we always tell our members, if you see something that you know is unsafe, raise it. And if nothing is done, call the safety coordinator. Don't get in a piece of equipment. Don't try to do this, because if you think it's unsafe, you're probably, as you said earlier, the best to know.
And in the state of Illinois, for those of you that are listening, and here's my one piece of free legal advice, because I read the statute once, and that is, if you refuse to get in a piece of equipment, like you said, or get in a hole because there's no shoring, or do something that you reasonably, and the key is reasonably, believe is unsafe, it's not a work stoppage, and you cannot be terminated for it. You cannot be disciplined for it, and that's public sector law at the moment. So there's some free legal advice from the Workers' Mic. You're welcome.
Ken Edwards, attorney at law, Esquire.
Used to be.
Yeah.
So let's talk about child labor, because this is something that drives me absolutely ballistic.
Yeah. We've had a couple long talks about the changes to state laws in Iowa where they're welcoming, you know, preteens back to slaughterhouses because they think that that's a good idea to solve worker shortages.
Yeah, Timmy has to kill a cow.
Yeah, poor Timmy. Yeah. Last time we checked in with Timmy, he was down to one leg and I think one hand.
And he can't sue because
right.
They passed a law that said you can't sue. I just, so Director Flanagan, you speak to this. Like, how anathema is that to a state like the state of Illinois?
I mean, I totally agree that it's shocking that we're in 2023 and we're talking about pretty intense child labor violations, you know, nationally, and I think there's been really good coverage of this issue.
There certainly has.
Luckily, in Illinois, you know, we do have a strong child labor law. We enforce that law at the Department of Labor. It does protect both, like, how many hours kids can work on a school day during the school year, right? So it's talking about those hours concerns, and it also addresses industries. What are industries that should just be off the table, right, that kids can't work in? They're too hazardous.
Like meat processing, for example. I mean, that would seem like a no-brainer for everybody.
Construction.
But I'll tell you, you know, following some of this press coverage, we got complaints about some national companies that have been named that have Illinois locations, and we're doing a joint investigation with the AG's office right now.
Good,
it's open.
Good.
I can't talk about it that much.
Yeah,
but
good.
How do they get around it? I mean, is it hiring like a third-party staffing agency so then the big company can say, we didn't know anything about this, and we're going to look into it and hold people accountable? It seems like that's usually
seems
what
like
happens.
That may be a model that's being employed out there.
But they need to be punished, and the punishment needs to go past the independent contractor or the third party. The punishment needs to get to the company. And if you're talking about a giant mega corporation, you know, I forget what it was. One of them, I think, was Cheerios, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, it's going to take a very, very large fine, like Dominion lawsuit fine, to make a difference, right? If you all remember, you know, back in the, what was it, the 70s, where AMC decided something to do with the Pacer that it was worth, like, it was the cost-benefit analysis of the cars blowing up. I mean, are we in that same situation?
Well, I think it's fine, but I actually also think that this kind of press coverage and outreach and raising awareness, I mean, that can really impact a company's reputation and bottom line as well.
You know, that's a good point.
So because, it's got to be the enforcement, but it's also got to be the awareness and
No, you know, it's almost like social media peer pressure, right? And so, like, you know, maybe
people are aware and they're more engaged with this kind of stuff and wanting to do business with companies that they respect and
sure.
trust.
Look what happened to, what was it, Bud Light? People are shooting up cans of Bud Light because they don't agree with whatever the Bud Light ad campaign was.
The people who are most complaining about cancel culture were the first ones to stop drinking Bud Light.
Well, I'm going to start drinking Bud Light. A lot of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make up for the all.
Soon. Wait till 9 o'clock at least, all right?
I already started this morning. So, and you know, you bring up this point that, you know, bringing awareness, right? And it happening here. I know, and Google this, by the way, listeners. Like just Google it, because we have talked about this in the past. But if you see something, say something, right? And if you're working next to a 13-year-old, you know that that kid shouldn't be working. You got to say something.
Right.
And if your boss doesn't want to listen, then say something to the Department of Labor, right? Or
right,
the Attorney General.
And we're working with community groups on this. We recognize that, you know, this isn't a – kids – are vulnerable and they feel pressure to bring money home to their families, and that's, you know, that's not on them.
What a shame that we're in this world right now where, you know, it went from, you know, one working parent and the nuclear family to two working parents, and now we have two working parents and a working kid. Eventually we're gonna have like the working cat and the working dog. I mean, like, where does this end? And that's because wages have been driven down. And wage inequality has, you know, skyrocketed. And why? Because the depression of unionization. So if we can, you know, take the unionization and bring it back up, it lifts all ships, right?
I've been over here worried about ChatGPT taking jobs, but now you've got me thinking about cats and dogs.
And it's CatGPT. You didn't hear about that one?
It's a Ken original.
It's a Ken Edwards original.
Hold on.
It'll probably get edited or, you know, I don't know. WGN seems to want to censor us lately. So, we got the Workers' Memorial on the 28th.
Right.
Right? And we will have information next week And
we'll
the week
post
after
it on our Facebook page.
And we'll post it on our Facebook page where it's going to stream if you want to see it. And if you know, look, if you're somebody that has been through, you know, the sad events of, you know, a loved one getting hurt,
right,
or a union brother or sister getting hurt, you know, feel free to comment on that and send a message to the AFL, send a message to, you know, Representative Evans or anybody, put one on our page, because I guarantee you that for every 10 accidents that we know about, there's 30 that we don't know about, right?
Sure.
Well, how do you think these workers' comp attorneys make money? Right? There's a I mean, that is not a small industry.
No.
Personal injury and workers' comp, right? No. So
there's a reason they can afford all those daytime TV commercials.
And billboards.
Right.
You know, whatever. And, you know, cheap. Look, and kudos to them for protecting workers and getting them some money. I don't really begrudge any of them. But if we can actually resolve the root issue, you know, we had talked about once, I don't know if you guys remember this, self-insuring workers' comp, mm-hmm. right? That never got anywhere, but whatever. We're willing to try different things.
Yeah. So, well, I think we're running out of time for this segment, so I think we'll take it to a break. I just want to say thanks to all of our panelists for being here.
We really appreciate you guys coming down, especially on a Sunday morning. This is really important stuff. You know, you just can't put a price on safety and what you guys do, and each and every one of you, I think, are doing God's work.
Yeah,
you know, and we appreciate that.
And before you go, the first month of our show was almost exclusively focused on the Workers' Rights Amendment, which passed here last November. But I know everybody sitting at this table had an important part to play in making that happen, and it wouldn't have happened without each and every one of you. So just from me and, you know, personally, thank you very much. You know, a lot of folks might not know how hard that was, because with the returns on election night, it almost looked like it was done easily. But that was a long effort, and it'll pay dividends for workers across Illinois for a long time. So thank you so much for everything you all did on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be back here in just a moment with the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ken. He's Ed. That was pretty cool, that panel.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, I've had the pleasure to know a couple of our panelists for a while, and you know, I know how hard they work and how personally they take this. So
nice of them to come up here as well on a Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
You know, I got to tell you, we could spend hours and hours talking with these folks. You know, we literally just scratch the surface on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're more interested, quite frankly, listeners, just, you know, Google them. Google the Illinois AFL-CIO. You know, Google Representative Evans. Google the Illinois Department of Labor. There is a ton more that we didn't get to. That they do and what they provide.
For sure.
And hopefully we'll have them back again.
Yeah, and we talk all the time on the show about the crazy things that happen in other places, like the child labor stuff in Iowa, you know, anything that happens in Florida, pretty much. And but we are blessed to live in a state where we have leaders in agencies, in the legislature, and working, you know, in the labor movement, who are all pushing to make sure that things get better. That
a lot of us take it for granted,
right?
You know, especially you live and work in, you know, let's say the labor movement in Illinois. Like, wow, you know, things are actually pretty good here. You know, so
compared to a lot of other states, even in the Midwest around us, things are, you know, we're fortunate, and it's because of people like that.
Yeah, no, it's that was really cool. It's been a bad week for Clarence Thomas, I guess, huh?
You know, he had a bad week last week too. He's on a 2 week kind of a skid here, but
he has not heeded the workers' mic call to resign. Has he?
I'm sure. I bet he was listening, but
well, he better listen again, because it turns out that his benefactor, Harlan Crow, no relation to Jim,
right?
Bought property from him?
Bought his childhood home.
Is that what it is?
Allegedly, yeah. It's a piece of property. He paid him like $130,000 for it. And I don't know if it's the home or like a small little piece of land or whatever.
What does Harlan Crow need a tiny little $130,000?
He's going to build, he's gonna build a museum.
Oh.
He's going to build a museum to commemorate. This is what he said this week, to commemorate the second black Supreme Court justice. So he's going to buy the house and make a museum or something. I think, you know, I don't know. It seems like a way that you could just for no good reason, slip a justice $130,000 in cash, but... You know, I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm not saying that's not what happened.
So when he builds this museum, is it going to be filled with Nazi paraphernalia?
Well, there was that that came out this week that he actually allegedly collects some of that stuff. And, I mean, this whole thing just stinks to high heaven.
Boy, does it ever. And don't tell me, by the way, because I read some apologetic, you know, he also collects, you know, other things, you know, like...
Yeah, you don't get away with that when it comes to, that
just
kind of memorabilia.
It's just like saying, like, you know, I collect China dolls, but I also collect heroin. You know, like, that's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, collecting that type of, like, Nazi propaganda, you don't get to do that and say, I like history. It doesn't, you can't get away with that anymore. I mean, that's nonsense. But I will say, almost as sort of upsetting as the stuff that Clarence Thomas has done in the last 2 weeks, or that we found out about him in the last 2 weeks, and that, to recap, is, you know, accepting annual vacations that total $500,000 and not reporting them.
Right.
You know, taking any sort of donations. Clarence's wife works for a think tank that's taking in money from this one donor, one of how many, you know, we won't know because there's no adequate reporting strategy. That, you know, it's something that I think that folks in Washington are trying to change. But Clarence Thomas came out and he addressed this, and he said that when he started, one of his mentors told him that you can take the goodwill of other people as long as they are not represented as a party in a case that's in front of the Supreme Court. So he's just telling us, I know this looks terrible, but it's all good.
Because somebody, I'm not going to say who, but somebody told me it was okay.
Yeah, I swear to God.
I promise you, somebody told me it was all good.
Yeah.
And by the way, not that like you should do any of your own diligence. It's not like you're a lawyer.
Right. Yeah.
or, you know, a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it's almost like he's thumbing his nose because he's...
Because he has... 100% what it is.
And because he has what? He's got lifetime appointment.
Yeah.
And once again, how does it tie back to labor? Taking money from these think tanks or taking vacations from these think tanks. And these think tanks, just Google them, they're very quick. They are anti-union as anti-union can be. And what does that mean for everybody else? It also means anti-worker. And it means cases like Janus and right to work coming. And, you know, the writing's on the wall. It just stinks to high heaven.
For sure.
So, you know.
I mean, and, you know, if either of us tried this, let's say you got pulled over for drinking and driving in the middle of the night. And you said, well, officer, you know, my uncle, you know, once told me that if you do it after, you know, all the kids are in sleep and they're not riding their bikes in the street anymore, then it's not a big deal. The cop would say, well, no, that's not the case. You know, we're not just going to take that and smile and walk away. You're still going to jail. Right. So what's going to happen? You know, I think that's the question.
What's going to happen is hopefully that the country rises up and says, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah. Well, let's see if anything gets fixed in the next week. We'll be back next week with more Supreme Court Watch. And the Workers' Mic here on WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNradio.com.